Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham, I'm a business journalist and I've covered M&A for a decade. Now, the relationship between China and the US is back in the spotlight after Donald Trump won the US election. In today's episode, we're heading to Shanghai to find out more about the potential impact on M&A. I'm joined by Ling Yang, who is an editor for Merger Market in China. Hi, Ling. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana. Thanks for having me.
So Donald Trump has been re-elected. There's been a lot made of the potential difficulties between US and China and their relationship. But could you talk through the potential benefits for Chinese deal-making following Trump's re-election, please?
Well, interestingly, that's a very timely topic that I went to a cross-border M&A event last week, and there are a couple of delegates from Europe and China talking about cross-border M&A transactions and how's the impact of Donald Trump's upcoming administration on those cross-border transactions. And according to the dealmakers, they actually think that Trump's re-election, Trump's backed into office may actually, fuel China and Europe mid-market M&A. I think the key here is that mid-market, because I think the mega deal is still very much subject to the political, geopolitical tensions and regulatory approvals, stuff like that. So I think that's the basically sentiment I gather from that conference. Yeah.
Could you talk about the stimulus package that's been announced recently in China? Is that likely to have any effect on deal-making, particularly cross-border deal-making?
Well, I think China has released a slew of stimulus package since late September. And we started to see green shoots of China's M&A recovery, because if you see the Asia index has risen 26% since the stimulus measure announced back then. And according to the source that we spoke to, the inquiries from listed company regarding M&A opportunities are increasing for the cross-border as well as the cross-border transactions. However, whether such nascent signs of a sentiment recovery could convert into actual transactions still remains to be seen.
And looking at that recovery and the kind of wider picture in China, if we focus on one specific sector, the supermarket space, in the summer, the American supermarket giant Walmart did a huge block trade of its holding in the Chinese company JD.com. Could you outline the details of that transaction and explain a bit about the background of it and where it fits into the kind of wider context of China-US relations and the Chinese recovery?
Yeah, interesting that you brought up that transaction. I think on August, Walmart sold its entire stake in JD.com, and which had been the first initiated through the sale of its Chinese online grocery store to JD.com in 2016. And later increased to over 10%. The interesting question is, there's actually a lot of talks behind it. Some people attribute to the geopolitical tensions between China and US. But I think there is actually the question is why they want to sell it back then, right? I think the thing is we have to look at there is a strategic consideration behind it, because when Walmart invests in JD.com, in 2016, there was an agreement of a non-compete agreement signed within that. And then the timing of the block trade sale actually collides with the end of a 8-year non-compete agreement with JD.com. So financially speaking, it was not a successful block trade, right? If you look on the book.
Yeah, because JD.com's share price went up dramatically very shortly afterwards.
Exactly. So financially speaking, it's actually quite bad. It's a very bad block trade. But I think Walmart is a very much a strategic player. So I think during the course of 8 years, JD helped Walmart expand its omnichannel strategy and tap into JD's advantages of across logistics and big data technology and custom service, etc. And after 8 years, I think Walmart already gained its own muscles in pretty much all those capacities, and now they can move forward to expand their own retail outlets, which is Sam's Club, which is actually quite successful in China right now.
And can you elaborate any more on that, what their plans are for what they offer in China, Sam's Club and other retail brands within the Walmart business?
Yeah, well, I think Sam's Club is actually accelerating their pace in store openings. And I think people would say that after the 8 year cooperation, and Sam's Club is the winner because the chain has grown stores from 26 stores in China at the end of 2019 to 47. So it has planned to open 6 or 7 outlets a year in the future. I think the Sam's Club's popularity really gained since pandemic, because of lockdown in China, people are starting to store up goods and to buy the bulk packaged goods to store at home. I think that really, and also they focus this emphasis on the good quality of the products, and because of their wide range of product selections and of course, different countries. So the members of Samsung Club could have a very selected choice on the products. And I think the quality of the products really gained a lot of popularity among the growing middle class in China.
Sticking with supermarkets for now, Hill House Capital abandoned talks to buy Sun Art Retail recently. Could you talk a bit about that and how it fits into the bigger picture, or if at all?
Right. So for the Sun Art Retail transaction, and we actually had a proprietary coverage on that. Sun Art Retail, it's backed by Alibaba Group. It's a hypermarket operator under RT brand. And just a couple months ago, announced that it received a indicative offer to take this company private. And we heard from sources that Hill House Capital was widely reported among the interested buyers group. However, we also heard from market that Hill House has actually walked away from the process. But having said that, because it's an open auction bidding process, the potential buyer could always come back at any time if the deal terms adjusted. I think we heard that Hill House disagreed with some of the deal terms. However, the deal is still in an initial stage, and the valuation gap is a major concern for the buyer, for the potential buyers. Which, because obviously China's economy has faced a lot of headwinds, and the consumption sentiment is actually quite low at the moment, and the valuation is really reached to a historical low point.
Thank you. And can we just bring it back to what you were hearing at the M&A event you were at last week? Because Donald Trump's re-election, he campaigned on higher tariffs, particularly for Chinese imports. What was the sentiment of dealmakers towards the challenges ahead for Chinese and US companies, and particularly those looking to do deals?
Well, And certainly, it's not a very good news for China and U.S. Cross-border M&A. But having said that, if you look at the data, you know, for the past couple of years, the Chinese investment, the China and U.S. investment, I mean, the cross-border investment has actually reached a historic low point as well. And I think Trump's return is not surprising to you know, a lot of Chinese steelmakers and also as well as Chinese government. So I think people are prepared with that kind of outcome. And especially on the government side as well, I think the government still certainly keep its powder dry for the, you know, potential upcoming tariff hike and saving enough tools to respond to that, any radical measures that we might come up. And I think for the deal makers, we are all well aware that we can look for other markets for opportunities like to explore, you know, cross-border investment into Europe and Southeast Asia, even Middle East, to de-risk. I think the thing is Chinese deal makers and even some of the, they are quite accustomed to this type of geopolitical volatility, and it's not really very much a surprise to many of them.
Great. Well, it's something we'll be keeping a close eye on. Ling, really good to talk to you. Thank you. That was Ling Yang, who's an editor for Merger Market in China. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Markets. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow or subscribe, and please do rate and review the show. If you want to find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at the show notes for this episode. Join us again next week.